If John Cena makes an entrance in the Performance Center and nobody's around to hear it, does it make a sound? We watched the Firefly Funhouse match between John Cena and the Fiend Bray Wyatt. Let's stuff some envelopes, folks. Welcome to the Pay Window. Prophet Sloan, I'm your intrepid traveler and host, the Professor Nick Harrison, at Mr. Professor 318 on all social media, except for Twitter right now, as Twitter is kind of blocking me. Well, not blocking me. Somebody got into my account and switched stuff around, so I'm still fighting with Twitter support. Thank you to all those who have been tweeting to Twitter support, trying to get them to give me my account back. We still working on it, baby, so we're going to make it happen. Mr. Professor 318 on everything except for that, but the Professor 318 right now on Twitter, as any of you might care. But thank you for your support. We truly appreciate it. Of course, with me as always on this side, I got to learn this whole StreamYard thing. Usually do it on Zoom. We're on StreamYard now. With me is my right-hand man, my man, 100 grand, Susio Sloan 217, a.k.a. Sloan Kettering, a.k.a. Lewis Rich, like the turkey bacon. What's up, my boy?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hi. Hi, guys.
So you have a Bucky's hat on right now.
You know I'm a Bucky's aficionado. I love Bucky's. I stop at as many Bucky's as I can on my route from here to San Antonio.
Really?
Yeah. You know.
So what is it about Bucky's that you love so much? What's your Bucky's obsession about?
Have you been there?
I'm asking you this question.
No. I thought you were asking from a point of view of somebody who's never been. Now, my obsession with Bucky's is that it is everything Bucky's. Mm-hmm. There's a little corner for Doritos and all the stuff that you catch in regular gas stations. They have a corner for that. Mm-hmm. But you can get you some Bucky's beaver nuggets. You can get you some Bucky's corn tortilla chips.
Funny story about those beaver nuggets. I have a buddy. He would stop it. Like, we would do like boxing matches and stuff like that. I would commentate on boxing matches for him. Mm-hmm. We went to Austin one time. We stop at Bucky's and he gets some beaver nuggets, but he calls them Bucky nuts. I always love those Bucky nuts, man. Like, my wife enjoys the Bucky nuts too. I'm like, come on, buddy. You can't. Don't. No, it's not. That's not a good look. Let's not call them the Bucky Nuts.
They have the best brisket sandwich I've had.
Brother, let me tell you.
They have a great salsich on a stick.
Great. I enjoy their, what is it, the jerky? Beef jerky is pretty good.
I don't venture over there, but I do mess with the fried chicken sandwich. That's pretty good.
The next time you're there, take a trip. Get to that wall of jerky that they have. Teriyaki jerky. I got some boat shoes at Bucky's. Bucky's got everything, man.
I almost wore my Bucky's shirt that says, if you think school is bad now, wait 15 years when these kids are being when the homeschool kids are in college.
That shirt says all of that.
And something to that effect. I've been doing products that are sponsored by my other podcast. So, okay. You know, I'm out there in the world today.
You know that don't fly around here, big guy. That's not in this podcast. After this podcast, not during this podcast. We don't condone those types of things in this podcast.
I adhere to some rules.
I understand, and I appreciate that. What we do condone on this podcast is professional wrestling. For those who don't know, the pay window is a term, reference, used in professional wrestling. When somebody wins, they're going to the pay window, daddy. They're getting that envelope with all that money in it because they won the match. But really, everybody's getting paid. I just got an envelope this past Saturday at a show. We all get those envelopes with the money in it. You know, hey, you did a good job, whatnot.
Wait a minute. That's what stuff some envelopes mean?
Yeah.
Holy sharks. What?
Yeah, you learn something new every day.
You learn something new every day, guys.
There it is. So, yeah, that's what we talk about here is the professional wrestling, and we make a few jokes about it, you know, and that whole little deal and blah, 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 myself and my buddy Sloan. We do it to it. And we usually have a guest on with us, and tonight is no different. Now, we didn't really have an idea of what we wanted to talk about tonight on the show, but our guest for tonight was already scheduled, And she was like, you know what? This match. This is the match that I want to talk about. But she didn't realize she was going to have to watch the match again. Because she was like, I don't want to watch that match again because I don't like that match. The match that we're talking about, the match in question, is the one we talked about at the beginning of the show. John Cena, Bray Wyatt, Firefly Funhouse match, WrestleMania 36. And here to talk about it with us is our girl, Krista. Krista, come on in. What's up? You got The Rock behind you. Defund Dwayne. That's my feelings right now. Defund Dwayne Johnson, because he can show up at the Grammys with Sam Smith and all his unholiness, but he can't show up to take on the head of the table. Like, how dare you?
We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
Defund Dwayne, man.
No, we're not defunding Dwayne. We're not defunding Dwayne.
Hashtag defund Dwayne. Get it trending, kids.
Those, absolutely those not.
Trended kids.
Not on Beyonce's Twitter, we not.
Oh, well, you know, Queen Beyonce is a completely different animal. We ain't talking about her. You know, you won't break my soul, but apparently you'll break my heart by not showing up to WrestleMania, Dwayne.
Defund, I mean, we don't know if he's not going to show up. We just don't need him in the match right now.
He this might even Cody, show up with Beyonce this, and Jay-Z. You never know.
He might.
They friends now.
At a Brooklyn Nets game, but he ain't going to do it at WrestleMania, I'll tell you that.
And Adele. They all going to show up together.
And Adele. Now, you are a journalist, a video producer, a digital specialist. You work with Hot 97. You got all this stuff going on. And, I shout out to you for doing all of this. But my question is, can I get a job? Like, what's happening?
I'm about to ask you, because you were ESPN, like,
when you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life. So that's true. We just trying to get there. Sloan with the look on his face, like, yeah, I'm just rich. I don't.
Sloan is rich.
I don't do the job thing.
Sloan is a rich guy. Like, I want to be on Sloan's level when I grow up. Okay.
Me and you both. I'm going across the Atlantic in economy in a couple weeks and. See, look at his face. Look at his face. He's like, economy.
It's the grimace. No. It's the
no economy. No, with the brokies. No.
I just learned that I could fly semi-private now, so it's about to go up for the listen, same prices.
Can I have some of your points for Mania? I want to fly. Like, you know,
real, I just had to fill out paperwork and I had no sky miles. They were asking me what sky miles I had. I was like, I have no sky miles, and I didn't think to ask you. Cover. If I could loan some of your sky miles.
I got about 190,000.
The studio when he had to pay. God, no.
We'll make the studio pay. They have the money.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So do you, friend. So do you. So WrestleMania 36, John Cena, Bray Wyatt, Krista, your favorite match. Why?
I hate this match. I hate this match so much. And now that I'm rewatching it again, it's literally as crazy as I remembered it. It's like, I get the timing, like COVID, empty arena, trying to make it as entertaining as possible. They took it, but this ain't it. This ain't it for me. I'll say this.
With this WrestleMania, unlike any other WrestleMania, because of course this was during COVID, this is when COVID first was like at its peak, at its height. So they were doing Raws and SmackDowns in an empty arena. This was even before Thunderdome. Like, this wasn't right. This was pre-Thunderdome era.
This this was like as soon as the world shut down, this WrestleMania came about.
Yeah, because they were trying to make it to where this was the WrestleMania where they actually wanted people to be there. But Florida was like, nah, we ain't going to do that. So for the first time ever, Florida was like, nah, we ain't going to do that. But they ended up doing this to an empty arena, which is why we said at the beginning, if John Cena makes an entrance and nobody's around to hear it, doesn't make a sound. Because it was the most awkward John Cena entrance we had ever seen. Because he comes out the same way John Cena comes out, where he's looking at everybody. And there's nothing. Nothing. Just absolute. You could have had a tumbleweed go behind that man, it would have fit. So he does the whole welcome to WrestleMania deal, and then here comes the film cutting out, and here comes Vince and Mean Gene Oakland.
Like going back to the 80s and 90s when you first introducing right. it. And it, I get the nostalgia of it, but at the same time, I feel like, I don't know, this just wasn't it. Like, you've seen John Cena in so many other ways, so to see him at this quote unquote put comedic light. I feel like he was trying too hard. Like John Cena, we already know he's already charismatic. He's already funny. He's already made that. He's already cemented that for him within WWE, especially when he was doing Thugonomics John Cena. So for him, for them to like replay all of this and then Bray Wyatt go back to Wyatt family, Bray Wyatt, and John Cena goes back to his ruthless aggression. Like how tight, how much coconut oil did he have to put on to put them shorts on? Like, and then they go back to Saturday Night Main Event, and it seemed really all over the place to me.
Well, what I'll say is this. This was during the time where they were doing the cinematic matches, because you had the Boneyard match.
Which was a great match.
Yeah, Boneyard match was a great match.
That's one of my favorite Undertaker matches.
It was a good
one. Of my favorite.
You know, and it's one of AJ's better matches in WWE. It was a great match.
Right.
You know, and you had, it wasn't necessarily a cinematic match, but then you had the greatest wrestling match ever between Edge and Randy Orton.
That was also a good match.
Which was actually also a pretty good match. Another one of those that nobody was there.
I guess Sloan doesn't agree with that one.
Sloan apparently isn't a big fan of the greatest wrestling match ever. But it's the greatest wrestling match ever, Sloan. Why would you not be a fan of that?
Because it was 45 minutes of two old dudes fighting that didn't need to happen.
Just like how I feel about Bray Wyatt and John Cena right now.
That literally could have been 22 minutes.
See, here's the thing. You say if it's WWE and it's 45 minutes of two old dudes fighting for no reason when it could have been shorter, you hate it. But then if it's like a bump fight of two old dudes on the side of the road for 45 minutes beating each other to a pulp, you're all for it.
That one's going to be 45 seconds.
That's going to be 45 seconds. You don't know what they've been drinking on, what they've been smoking on, what they hit. If they go and like swing and lean and never hit the floor, that's more entertaining. Like he's coming out as Eric Bischoff. I'm so confused. How did we get here? He wasn't even on WCW.
Rest in peace, Kimbo Slice. So we have this match starting out, John Cena. Empty arena, nobody there. Does the record of WrestleMania, do all that thing. And then we are transported to the Firefly Funhouse where, you know, Bray is waxing poetic as he tends to do. Now, I'll say this. I know there's a lot of controversy going on about Bray Wyatt and the pitch black match at the Royal Rumble. And, you know, there are some people who really like Bray Wyatt. There are others like my buddy Will Washington from Fightful who's like, he's pretty mid. And, you know, you like the theatrics of Bray Wyatt, but the in-ring stuff isn't all that great. I think in-ring, he's actually pretty good. And the theatrics just heighten it and make it better. So what he's done with the Firefly Funhouse, I really do enjoy. And I like this part of the match where he's, you know, who are we really? Where he wants to dig into who John Cena really is, which sets the tone for this match and what's about to come next. Now, Sloan, you and I had conversations before we watched this match, and you went back and watched it again. Do you still feel the same way of actually liking this match?
No, I think it's a horrible match.
Oh,
after watching it again, it's trash.
It's quite trash.
It's trash.
Because I thought the Boneyard match was like the WrestleMania after that one.
It is. It's WrestleMania
37. No, it's the night before.
Oh, wait. It's still 36?
It's the night before. It's night one.
Yeah. That's 36, man.
I thought it was 37.
Oh, no. Because it was a cinematic match. That was 30. That's
night
36.
One.
36.
And the Boneyard match closed night two. And the Boneyard match, but this match closed night two. And I was like, if I didn't see the Boneyard match, maybe.
Boneyard match was everything. Like that was such an amazing match. I don't care what nobody said. They put that. I feel like they put a lot of thought into that because it was also Undertaker's ride out in a sense. Mm-hmm. So when it came to bringing John Cena, it's just like, all right, we're gonna try to do something again. We're gonna try to make it more comedic. And we all know the writers in WWE sometimes are not as funny as they think they are.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty sure they exhausted themselves with all the cuts and takes and clips and stuff they put for this damn match because we know this part was not live. We know
that. See, what's great, I feel like some of their writers weren't able to be there to do a lot of this stuff because of like the COVID and all this stuff going on. Because I tell you, we know that there have been some great minds in the WWE writers room and in wrestling writing in general. There have been some fantastic minds, some comedic minds, some really funny people. Like, you know, one of my favorite comedians of all time, Patrice O'Neal. He was a writer for, I want to say, for WWE, and he was amazing. So, like, you have good minds in the writers room. So maybe they weren't allowed into the room while they were trying to come up with this match. I don't know. But, I still stand by actually liking this match because of the theatrics and because of stuff like this. With Bray, you know, who you are you really, John? So let's look at who you really are. So we see John in the Firefly Funhouse, and he has some stuff with Ramblin' Rabbit, which, you know, Ramblin' tells him where to go, and he walks through. And then we see Bray as Kurt Angle. Now, this was harkening back to John Cena's time with the Ruthless Aggression era.
That's his debut.
And, yeah, and that was his debut, his first match against Kurt Angle. And, you know, the whole Ruthless Aggression thing kind of started with that. You know, we've seen the clip of Vince talking about you looking for people with Ruthless Aggression. John Cena says he has Ruthless Aggression, and then he takes Kurt Angle to his limit in his very first match, and it gives you an idea of who John is going to be. So he comes out there in the John Cena shorts. It's not the jorts. It's like the little shorts that he had on in his first match, and he's got the Hollywood haircut and all this stuff. And then they proceed to have a little Daffy Duck Bugs Bunny deal going on where John can't catch Bray, and he's just disappearing. Well, John, I thought you could do better than that. And it's like, what are we doing? Like,
why, Iada?
Yeah, it's just going back and like him disappearing. Took that. Apparently, John Cena took that wrong turn to Albuquerque. Like, it's wild. Of it's what
somewhere.
It's something. You know, so I can get where y'all coming from with some of the aspects of the match, including this right here. And we go from that to Puppet Vince. No, Puppet Vince was before this. Puppet Vince, the it's such good S meme that we know so well kind of originated from this match. Like, you know, there are a lot of people who don't like this match, but there are lasting images that we get from this match, kind of like Puppet Vince. John Cena in the NWO garb, like we see right behind Sloan right now.
Right. John I Cena was trying to figure out how did this even come to play? Because neither one of them were in WCW. Neither one of them were around in the sense of like starting their wrestling careers when the NWO was prevalent and popular at that time. So how did this part even come about for them to be Eric Bischoff and Hogan or Hall or Nash or whoever John Cena was?
Well, I will take a stab at that. I don't know where Sloan's feelings are on this, but I feel like this goes into everybody wanting John Cena to be a heel at some point in his career after he became Super Cena. Like, we know that Doctor of Thugonomics was a heel at one point, but then he turned face, and then we never saw John Cena as a bad guy again.
He's so, like Ricky Steamboat.
So this goes exactly, but Ricky Steamboat was never a heel. John Cena was actually a heel at one point. Like, it wasn't a super long time, and he was still really entertaining and doing the raps and all that stuff. But this, I think the whole NWO thing goes into everybody wanting him to be a heel, and the whole hypothesis of what would have happened if at the height of everything, John Cena had become a bad guy, kind of like Hollywood Hogan did during the NWO days. He ditched the yellow and red, went to the black and white, became Hollywood Hogan, and became like a super duper heel. And John Cena never did that. So I think that's kind of the psyche of, you know, this, as since we're going through who are we really with John Cena, this goes into the whole what if John Cena was a bad guy. So I think that's why they did that. Not like maybe it was an homage to NWO in part as well, but I think the main thing was the hypothesis of John Cena possibly being a heel.
Okay. I mean, I could respect that. That probably makes the most sense, because I was just sitting here confuzzled, like, and yes, I said confuzzled.
It'd have been written as I had you. You know, it happened. It's all good. Sloan, how do you feel about John Cena donning the black and white?
I would love to see John Cena be a heel.
See?
Can he do it, though? Like, can he pull it off without it being Thuganomics John Cena? Like, can he really be a heel?
He could kind of come back kind of how The Rock did with Hollywood Rock or Hollywood Cena.
That I don't think that would work.
No shade. Hollywood Rock, as much as I love him, clearly. Hollywood Rock, I felt like they tried too hard for Hollywood Rock.
Oh,
like,
my
was just like, all right, you're in Hollywood now. We're going to use it to the best of your ability. And instead of it being like a natural flow of Hollywood Rock, like it was when he was like leaving Nation of Domination and going into corporate or whatever, I feel like they tried too hard with Hollywood Rock. Like, oh, go get The Rock a bologna sandwich and da-da-da-da. And, oh, you thought I was going to be there. And then I felt like it was really, really laying it on really, really thick during that time. And I'm a huge Rock fan, but I'm going to call it out when I see it.
I disagree.
Of course you do.
I disagree wholeheartedly. Hollywood Rock was one of the greatest personas that The Rock had. Hollywood Rock.
I mean, I love the theme music.
Come on. Sacramento. Sacramento. Sacramento, I won't stay.
I did love the songs and the trolling. Like when he'll come to the ring and he'll do his catchphrases and he'll troll the audience and stuff like that. Cool. I love that part. I'm talking about the little vignettes or like when he's like not there. They laid it on
thick. When he's via satellite. I love
the Via satellites. Like they laid it on thick.
Via satellite like, was
this
great.
One right here. Look, this one right here.
Hollywood that one right Rock, there. Man. Hollywood Rock. He was the best. If you're not watching this right now, you should be. Go to the YouTube and see if it's up because it should be there. We had Bray as Kurt. I feel like we had skipped a couple things when we went to NWO, which is absolutely fine. We skip back and forth with this one because this one is a jumble mess.
It was all over the place.
Clearly. It was all over the place. So we can jump back and forth all we want to. Macho Mercy and Mr. McBoss Man. I thought that was hilarious.
That was funny.
Mercy the Buzzard is the Macho Man with the chains and all that stuff. Yes, so that's just funny, man. Mercy and Mr. McBoss Man is just such good stuff.
And then such a good S word.
Now again,
curse on here. Okay.
No, great. We don't curse on here. We don't curse on this. We don't say those
wrestling girls. We curse.
I know. I'm well aware that those wrestling girls and like a lot of the ladies that do the wrestling talk, I'm aware that y'all cuss like a blue streak. And I know Sloan, he cussed too. But you know, we trying to put it out. No,
it's okay. I just wanted to make sure. I haven't slipped up. I've really been working on myself to not curse a lot. So, you know.
And I've said those words a time or two before. If you listen to the Fightful Post show for Royal Rumble, you know that somebody paid like $20, $25 just to hear me say sugar, honey, iced tea. And I actually got a raise from Fightful for that. So, hey, more power to it. So, one show.
So, are you saying there might be more money in curse words?
Oh, there's always more money in curse words.
There's always more money in curse words. I'm pretty sure that late 90s hip hop comedians on Def Comedy Jam proved to us that there's more money in curse words. The Kings of Comedy proved to us that there's more money in curse words. Red Fox, Richard Pryor, Eddie Murphy. Lou Nell, who's on OnlyFans now, they all show us.
Yo, if I could put up, if I could start an OnlyFans account where I'm cursing people out as I'm driving, you know how much money I make?
Million.
Yeah, I heard it.
You were funny. You were funny on Coffee with Rev this morning while you were driving into the office. That was quite funny.
Oh, when she was ignoring me?
I didn't hear you.
I'm sitting there talking and she's talking over me on Coffee with Rev. I'm trying to make a point.
I didn't hear you at all.
And she's still talking and cussing somebody out in the car.
No.
That's what friends are for. Thank you,
I wasn't even going into the office. I never even made it into the office today. I was stuck at the dealership all day getting my car serviced. And it was only in Long Island. To get to the city was like an hour and I left at 3. It made no sense.
That's ridiculous. That's great. So we Saturday night's main event, the whole cage thing. I just, you know, I like seeing John Cena as the old school, like late 80s like too hot to handle, too cold to hold, you know, all that stuff. I thought he kind of fit that mold a little bit.
Randy Savage said, "I'm like, yo, I just heard that saying." I saw a clip of Randy Savage on Arsenio Hall, and he said that, and he was talking about how his career is going down because he paired up with Sherry instead of Miss Elizabeth. So that's where that came. I'm gonna say, yo, where did that come from? Okay, got it.
Cup of coffee in the big time. Mm-hmm.
I tell you, coffee in the
big now, time. Now I will say this.
Yeah, brother. One thing that I
did love about this match, amongst other things, was the return of the Eater of Worlds, Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
And the Hawaiian shirt, and you know, because it was kind of him avenging what happened between him and John Cena earlier in his career. Mm-hmm. And I mean, just going back to that and having that callback, I think kind of was cathartic for him and for fans, even though it was in a match of this nature, and even though it was an uncertain time in our world and in our lives, I think that having that as a part of the match really kind of gave Bray a little closure when it comes to him and John Cena, and I liked seeing that a lot.
I like the blue cage. I really did enjoy the blue cage. Mm-hmm. I wish they would have brought that back for Route 30, for the even the cage match last night. They should have brought the blue cage back.
It probably would have brought it back for Raw 30 if they had actually had them on the match, like they were on the card, like they were supposed to.
Right.
But
I think they brought it back for Raw 25 when it was at between Manhattan and Barclays. I feel like I seen the blue cage. Mm-hmm. I was at the Barclay Center that day, that night. But I was just so pissed because it was in two different locations. And I'm just like, why? Should just all had it at one and did flashbacks, but whatever. Neither here nor there.
Neither here nor there. Now, of course, we end the match with the Fiend, mandible claw down the throat of John Cena. And Bray Wyatt is counting the three.
Right. Bray Wyatt counted the three on the Fiend, giving John Cena the mandible claw.
Now, we know that in this world of professional wrestling, Bray Wyatt and the Fiend were kind of two separate entities. We know it was the same, like, body. It's the same person, per se. But it's two different personalities, two right. different people. So it's not, it wasn't the same guy. And since it's a cinematic match, you can do that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But I can understand how that would be confusing to some people. Like, if, for example, if Bray Wyatt is Uncle Howdy, right? You say to yourself, how could he be Uncle Howdy? We've seen Bray Wyatt in the ring and Uncle Howdy somewhere else, and Bray has said he's not Uncle Howdy. But who's to say that Bray Wyatt is not Uncle Howdy? But the body is still...
It's a persona.
Exactly. Kind of like the Fiend and Bray Wyatt. So, a lot of... See, y'all talking about you don't like this match. There's layers. There's layers to this match. It may not be bloodline, storyline layers, but there's layers to this match regardless.
What we not going to do is bring up bloodline because... Okay.
I know that the bloodline is not... It's a much better storyline than what we're talking about here. I acknowledge. It's okay. I acknowledge. All right.
You see the shirt.
I acknowledge.
All it's right? not paranoia.
It's not
the paranoia. Uso.
It's the Uso. I know. I understand. I get it. Now, y'all talking to me like I don't know. I'm the one that for Hell in a Cell, when they were in the Thunderdome, that made the shirt that said the head of the table never quits with a picture of Roman Reigns in it. I made that. I ain't buy it. I made it because I acknowledge the tribal chief and I acknowledge the bloodline. Well, this match was still good. I don't care what y'all say. So we have, what is it? We do a rating system, but we change the rating system every show depending on what the match is and who the guest is. So it's what out of five, what? See, we've done Black Power Fist, we've done, what else did we do? Sloan, like other stuff for other matches, I can't remember. But we've done five somethings, for every show. So what would you, five what's for the rating system?
I think I have a few in my head, but what's the main one come out? Okay, we'll do five headphones in honor of those wrestling girls because we have signature pink headphones as our logo.
There you go. We'll do that.
Five pink headphones.
Okay, so how many pink headphones do you give Bray Wyatt versus John Cena Firefly Funhouse match?
Half of one.
Half of one.
Okay, no, I'll give it two headphones. I'll give it two headphones.
Two headphones. Okay, now we know what your feelings are on this match, so we understand why you would give it two headphones. Sloan, what about you? How many headphones? How many pink headphones do you give this match, Sloan?
Two and a half.
Two and a half.
Two and a possible, like we're playing spades.
Two and a possible. Okay. So you don't know if you got a bunch of books in your hand.
Yeah, I got a few diamonds, and I have a big heart.
Yeah. Oh, you do have a big heart. And you share it with the world, buddy. I will give this match 3.5 pink headphones. I understand where y'all are coming from with a lot of this stuff, but I think that the nuances and the psychology of a lot of it, it kind of lends to the intrigue of this match. There wasn't enough action in it for as a wrestling match is supposed to have, but as far as the callbacks and the looks into Cena's career and the kind of the callback to the history between Bray Wyatt and John Cena, I can totally understand it. So 3.5 out of 5 pink headphones for this match. Crystal, we appreciate you being on the show. Thank you so much. It's a long time coming because I know we had talked about it for a while. How can everybody get in touch with you on social media?
Just kidding.
Leave her alone.
Me alone.
Plug all your stuff, man. Plug your stuff.
You can follow me, Miss Krista B, on Instagram, MS_KristaB, KristaB_, on Twitter, Miss_KristaB with no underscore at the end. Make sure you follow those wrestling girls on every platform: Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Patreon, YouTube, Twitch. We stream every Wednesday. We have our Thursday coming up. And we have Krista B Sounds Off with Crispo Contreras on Friday, streaming live on Twitch. So please make sure that you follow us everywhere. TWG, those wrestling girls, look for the pink headphones, and that's us.
All right. Well, we appreciate it, Krista. Thank you so much. Sloan, plug away, my boy.
You catch me at Susio Sloan 217 on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. Also, Tuesday and Thursdays, you catch me on Coffee with Rev. Seen Rev. He's not been around for a while. I don't know where that guy is. So it's mainly just me running the show every Tuesday and Thursday, 7:30 a.m. Eastern, until we decide to get off. Normally, I've been doing it for about 4 hours, 5 hours, because in that third hour, internet wrestling dudes get a little weird and creepy and start saying crazy stuff. Outside of that, I have the Susio Boys podcast every Tuesday and Thursday on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, CDB Network, the CDBN podcast on Wednesdays. I'm just out here talking a lot.
You are.
I'm trying to get paid for it.
Have you ever noticed that I'm usually out by like the beginning of that third hour on Coffee with Rev?
Out.
Yeah, you
just out. Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
I gotta be out of there. That's because
you
of the women leave too.
Trying to check out after that third hour. I'd be like, all right, guys, I'm going to get out of here.
They want you to stick around. They'd be like, man, please. This is the only, I ain't got no place else to go.
Well, I just want you guys to know, man, and that AEW is way better than WWE, and MJF's is way better heel than Roman. Wait a minute, partner.
Let's
now you're skating on thin ice, pal. You're skating on thin ice, pal. Now I got to restrict.
He fell through. Forget skating on thin ice. He fell through.
Let's discuss that for a second. You can catch me on all social media at Mr. Professor 318. I am live every night on TikTok, or every day, I should say. You can catch me every day on TikTok live. Make sure you check your local listings for that. BIW will be back in Brookhaven, Mississippi on February 18th. So if you are around that area, please come and check us out. We'll also be in West Monroe, Louisiana pretty soon. So make sure you're looking at the BIW Facebook page to see when we're in your area. Going to England in a couple weeks on a top secret mission, much like I'm 007 and a half, I guess.
You're 00 Negro.
Yeah. So we'll let you know what that's all about when we can let you know what that's all about. But stay tuned because there's some big things going on with Professor Nick Harrison, and you guys will be right there front row to see how all of it happens. The We Rock Together t-shirts, the official merch of the Professor Nick Harrison, if you can see part of it right there. If you go to the link in my bio and all of my social media, in that link tree at the very top, we have one for the U.S. and then there's a link for international shipping if you're outside of the United States. Make sure you get one of those because they're running out fast. People love them. They're soft and cuddly and fantastic, much like me. So please make sure you go get yourself a shirt sometime soon because I'm sure that you will enjoy it because we rock together because music is a uniter. If nobody's told you today, you are loved, you are appreciated, you are important, you're more than enough exactly as you are, and always remember to be great. Make sure you check us out next time for another exciting episode of The Pay Window. See you guys later. Bye, guys.
Bye.